Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
The Women's Football Show.
With Leanne Sanderson.
Absolutely first class.
On TalkSport 2.
Hello, this is TalkSport Women's Football Show podcast. Every week, I'll be bringing you the best bits from our show. Don't forget, you can listen back to the full Women's Football Show via the TalkSport app. This week, we're on Monday at 7 p.m. So swipe for TalkSport 2, find Monday, and you can listen full there. This week on our show, I was joined by FC Wimbledon centre-forward Ashley Hinks, and we chatted about how her season is going so far. Ash, how are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thank you for joining me. Now, no game yesterday, league game, but I was thinking you had the day off, but you didn't. You had a game against Brighton under-23s?
Yeah, it's rare they like to give us a day off. We had a friendly against Brighton 21s
at
the training ground. Really positive game, just mainly to get minutes in legs for people ahead of, you know, up-and-coming league games.
So you're top of the league now with AFC Wimbledon. I want to get a little bit into your career, you know, and obviously we've known each other for years, but I was reading these stats, you know, 106 goals, 51 assists in 77 games. Like, don't matter what level you're playing at, that is unbelievable stats. Like, for you, you've played at the highest level, now you're playing with AFC Wimbledon. Like, what is it about AFC Wimbledon that makes you feel so happy? Because I remember I bumped into you after the Conti Cup final and I was so delighted because you come back from your injury and you were just smiling from ear to ear. And I just was so happy because I felt like you were genuinely really happy.
I am, yeah. Obviously, you touched on the injury. We'll speak about that later, but coming back to Wimbledon after an injury, it was just like the perfect environment for me. Obviously, I was looking for clubs post Palace, and from the moment I spoke to them, you know, when you get a gut feeling like that's the decision you make, and I think my performance is on the pitch are speaking, you know, volumes about why I chose Wimbledon. I'm just very happy there.
Yeah, and you're currently top of the FA Women's National League Division 1 South East. It's a lot of wording. So, is there any part of you? You're 35 years old now, right? You're younger than me. I know I say everyone look 21, I know. But is there a part of you that still feels like you can still play at that level? Because when I see these goals you're banging in and the stats and everything, I mean, I'm not a big stat person, but your football speaks for itself. You've always been a good player. But is there a part of you that thinks, give it that one last shot in the Championship or in the WSL at some point?
It crosses my mind. I feel like I have to back my ability. I think technically I could go and play at that level. I think obviously, unfortunately, probably given age and the fact that I've not played in it for a few seasons, fitness would potentially let me down, but you know, that's easily regained. But I'm enjoying it so much that it doesn't... I'm not like having those thoughts, to be honest with you. I think I know that I'm capable of playing at that level because I have. But I'm really enjoying doing what I'm doing at Wimbledon. So it's quite refreshing, to be honest.
Yeah, and what's your scheduling like? You know, because I wanted you on the show because you've been a friend of mine for years and I think you're a top girl, top person and top player. And obviously, I want to shed a little bit of light on, you know, what it's like playing in the lower leagues of women's football, because I think it's fantastic what the Lionesses are doing. WSL, I mean, I would say every single team is selling out because they're not, and that's the reality, but it's good the ones that are. What's it like for you? What's your weekly schedule like? How many times a week are you training? Is it semi-pro? Are you getting paid full-time? Are you working alongside playing?
Semi-pro, obviously, same as what I've always done. You know, work full-time alongside playing. Schedule's the same as what you would have done. Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. Obviously, with the odd midweek game thrown in there. So it's kind of similar schedule to what I've always had.
And is that something that, like, you know, when we talk about, do you find it easy to balance working and playing? Because obviously the load is a lot less. You're not training every single day. And I also find that when I've gone into environments that have been like that, I also find the people seem a lot nicer and a little more less egos. You know what I mean? Like, people
so.
Seem, I don't know how to explain it, but when I went to train with West Ham, when I was coming back from my ACL injury and Karen Ray invited me down just to train and see the physio, I walked in and I thought, this is a lovely environment to be in. Like, it made me want to play again. And then I think the higher you go, I'm not saying there's not nice people, because there are, but it's almost like those types of egos within the game.
Unfortunately, yes, that's sort of what I've found also. But then I suppose you have to have that in order to kind of get where you need to be, especially within football. I think at the lower levels, you're completely right. I think there is some incredible teams, some incredible volunteers and incredible people sort of in the football pyramid that, you know, people don't necessarily get access to or see. And it would be nice to sort of shed more light on, you know, the leagues below WSL and Championship, because there's a lot of good players and a lot of good stuff going on in the teams within that pyramid.
Yeah, and obviously yourself, you played at the top level, played at younger England national teams as well, Chelsea, Millwall, Palace. I mean, I could really afford, I think we've probably had the same amount of clubs we've played for, but it's because everyone wants us, yeah. Right? That's the reality. But is there anything that you look back on and you think, I know you still play now, but you was at these clubs like Chelsea, is there anything you look back on and you think, I wish things worked out differently, or have any regrets?
Definitely. I think Chelsea stands out in the sense, Emma came in the season that I left. Unfortunately, I got injured during like the first game in pre-season. Well, it was in the break. It was when we used to have the summer league. There's a gap in the season. I got injured, unfortunately, in the first game that she was there, which meant that she wasn't able to sort of offer me a contract when it needs to be renewed, because she hadn't had the opportunity to see me. So that's obviously a big frustration of mine, because I think I would have easily, I think she would have liked me as a player. Other than that, no, because I think I'm very happy in my life away from football. So I don't have any regrets in how it's panned out. I mean, I'd absolutely love to have got the opportunity to have played full time, of course, naturally.
I actually can't believe that you haven't. Like, in my mind, I thought you had. Because obviously you're at Chelsea and Charlton, and people forget, like, when we were playing, most of the time, I was fortunate that I got to do the good, the bad and the ugly. I say it every week on the show. But for me, like, to sit here and know that you've not ever had the opportunity, like, I think, oh, just, you know what I mean? Because when I moved to America when I was 21, it was like, I'm finally a pro now. You know, I was lucky I was at Arsenal and I got given the best of the best. You know, they looked after me in every single way. But it wasn't until I moved to America that I thought training every single day. And I think, you know, you can go to that next level when it's like that. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think that's what I missed out on. Obviously, when I was at Charlton, they folded. Do you remember that whole saga? I was 18. At that time, I was really good and I was probably ready to step up. I broke into the first team. And I think I chose the wrong club at that time, went to Watford. I think I should have tried to come to Arsenal. I think I was good enough to. Obviously, I was a young girl. So again, things like that, it's like, had I maybe taken different route or opportunities, I think I would have got there. I think I do back my ability in that. But, you know, things work out the way they did. But no, I've never actually played full time.
There's a lot of emphasis on the WSL, and I honestly think there's a Super League within side of Super League in a WSL. It's almost like people don't really talk about that, but that's the reality. I think it's difficult for teams to really break into that top four, for sure. But a lot of emphasis on the Lionesses, how well they're doing. You know, Emirates sold out at the weekend back-to-back. Good attendances at Chelsea most of the time, and Arsenal. Talk to me a little bit about playing in the lower leagues and even in the Championship, because you played there. And I feel like no one really talks about there still needs to be more done within those leagues, because it's like, I've always said, if you don't know about something, how will you go to a game? It's like anything. I always say, I love Beyonce. I don't go to the O2 hoping she's going to turn up. I go because people laugh, but it's true. I go because I know she's going to be there. So what more do you think needs to be done visibility-wise? You know, because there's still people struggling in the Championship and even within the WSL.
There's such disparities between clubs performing and doing really well on and off the pitch to the clubs that aren't. You touched on it. The WSL, absolutely, there's two leagues within that league. We all know it. You can see it visibly on the league table and attendances. Championship, I think one thing I will say is, since, you know, I've played in the Championship for years, and the level has gone up untold amounts again because it's moved and transitioned to full time, other than maybe a handful of teams. But, you know, I think pretty much every team now is full time. And I think you can see that in the league table, the results. Teams are now probably in a better position to take the step up to WSL if it becomes available. But, you know, it's still such a huge gap. Look at Bristol. Absolutely smashed the Championship last year. struggling in the Super League, unfortunately. That seems to happen.
Do you think that's got to do with money, though, and budgets, would you say?
Yes. If unfortunately, you could have the best manager in the world and you could have one good season, you know, in terms of, like, work rate and team bonding and togetherness, but unfortunately that's not going to see you continually progress. You need to have better players to come in and do that, and unfortunately you need money in order to go and get those, the way the women's game's gone. You know, it's not like when we were younger, when you would go maybe for a manager or because the certain type of calibre of player was at a team. You now go for money, a lot of these girls are, and that's the reality of it. So I think there's huge improvements to do, but I think the Championship has really, really shown the way in terms of, let's put some more money into this and we can improve, and they are. And you are seeing that filter down to the National League now. Like Newcastle, I don't know if you look at what they're doing.
Amber Stobbs.
Yeah, they've really backed it. They're gonna get promoted. So you're going to see them in the Championship next year, which is great for women's football because their team trying to do things the right way. You know, we've got other clubs, big clubs in the National League, stepping up and putting money into it that, you know, hopefully it makes it better.
Yeah, and obviously, dreaded three letters, ACL. Both you and I have done this injury, and obviously it's been a topic of conversation for many months now within the women's game. And, you know, I wanted to touch upon something that happened to you with this injury, because obviously I got injured, and then I got told that my contract was not being renewed when I was in America, and, you know, they were going to pay for my surgery, and then I had a good, you know, care or aftercare and that type of stuff. Then Juventus signed me. But something that really sticks with me, Ash, is that I remember I messaged you as soon as you did it. And I remember I was in contact with you, and then, you know, I didn't speak for a few months, and I was like, how did the surgery go? You know, are you on the road to recovery? And you were like, I've not had my surgery done yet. I was like, come again? You were like, yeah, I've got to wait to have it done on the NHS. And literally, we're talking 4 years ago now, roughly, right?
Yeah, 2019.
So I'm like, how can a player be at this club? You don't mind me saying the name?
No.
Crystal Palace. Yeah. And she's not able to get private healthcare. Like, if this was one of the male players, so you had to wait to get your surgery done. Like, talk to me a little bit about that process for you. And I know you mentioned there were some positive experiences, but I cannot get my head around the fact that, and I think it's the reality of the lower leagues and players within the league.
Unfortunately, yeah. I mean, being in the Championship and being at a club, i.e. Palace, who were and are still in the Premier League, unfortunately wasn't prepared to fund the surgery. Their prerogative. I mean, I personally don't agree, and I didn't agree, and I had a lot of conversations about it. I even went to the levels where I was going to set up a GoFundMe. I wasn't allowed to do that because of how bad it would look on the club. So, you know, at every point I was stopped in trying to get surgery. We all know the length in terms of recovery with ACL, so getting surgery ASAP is, you know, the most important thing. I'd done it in September and I didn't have my surgery until the end of February. So, you know, there's 5-6 months there that I've had to wait, and then, you know, it's minimum 10 months, likely 12 months post-surgery. So that speaks for itself, really.
Yeah, and obviously now you're back, though, you're thriving. And, you know, it's a story that I always share because I just think people need to know about stuff like that. Because as a professional player, I know you're saying you're still semi-pro, but to me, you're a pro. Mm. Because even though you only train twice a week, that's
still
the reality.
Paid, so they were my employer.
Yeah.
If I slipped and tripped in my off place of work in an office, they would have private insurance in place, wouldn't they? So I'd get surgery. So I'm still an employed person. So I don't see why that's not covered in some kind of insurance.
Yeah, and obviously, just to shed a little bit of light on the positiveness, I'm glad that we had to go through the bad stuff to get to the good stuff. You told me that now there's in place that everyone will get help.
Yes,
in the Championship.
So obviously, originally it was just the Super League. They obviously have private healthcare. It then filtered down to being a requirement in the Championship, sort of one or two seasons after my injury happened. So now, Championship upwards, everyone has private healthcare as far as I'm aware, and it is literally a requirement by the FA for the clubs. So God forbid anything happens to players now, they've got the private healthcare in place.
After a brief international break, we return to WSL action as a title race continue to heat up. Ashley and I look back on an action-packed weekend. Let's hear everything that happened from Uma Gurab.
The WSL returned this weekend after the international break, and it did not disappoint. Another sold-out Emirates crowd was treated to an Arsenal victory over Spurs. It wasn't pretty, but Lionesses Beth Mead and Alessia Russo linked up to find the only goal of the game. It was Mead's 40th assist for her club. No WSL player has ever achieved that before. So Arsenal still have the title in their sights, But there's a hill to climb. Man City extended their 12-game unbeaten run with a dominant 2-1 victory over Everton. It put them top of the table, but not for long. Chelsea moved back to number one thanks to a 4-0 victory over Leicester. As if the Blues didn't already have enough talent to boast, the star of the night was American superstar striker Caterina Macario. After 641 days out with an ACL injury, Macario scored on her Chelsea debut. It's just one more reason why Emma Hayes' side will be so hard to beat. A bad Sunday for Man United all around. Their European hopes are all but gone after the Red Devils allowed West Ham to equalise late in the day. That 1-1 result means United are now 9 points off the Champions League places. But their troubles don't end there. Even finishing top four could be a struggle. Liverpool's 4-1 victory over Aston Villa has brought them level on points with United. They've been the revelation of the season so far. Could they steal that fourth place spot? A 10-goal thriller saw Brighton put 7 past their relegation rivals Bristol City. With Bristol now stranded 6 points adrift at the bottom of the table, there seems little doubt they will sadly be heading back to the Championship after just one season up. So, North London is red and the top of the table is blue. But who will lift the WSL trophy? I, for one, don't have a clue.
Thank you, Umar. So, Ashley, we'll start with the North London Derby. I was there myself, and honestly, when I go to these games now and they're completely sold out, I mean, I don't want to keep beating that drum, but it's amazing, you know, to see. So, do you think that the gap, I mean, it was 1-0 to Arsenal, do you think the gap is getting a little bit closer between that North London Derby rivalry?
Definitely. I think the scorelines obviously speak for themselves.
They beat them in December, obviously, yeah. Tottenham, like, for the first time.
I think Tottenham have really improved over the last couple of seasons, and yeah, they're bridging that gap slowly. I think obviously you'd like to see a more consistent, you know, performance from them each game, but they're definitely getting closer.
Yeah, so before we chat about my former club, Arsenal, let's hear what their manager, Jonas Edebaum, had to say at full-time when he spoke to TalkSport, Charlotte Richardson. She asked him about the goal that finally broke the deadlock in the second half.
We knew we needed that quality because they defend with so many players. They defend well. They're very compact. They're very loyal in their defensive actions. So we needed to overpower them with quality. And in football, if you're able to keep a clean sheet, you only need that once. And that pass from Kim, the positioning, the first touch from Bev, and the positional patience from Alessia, that was all the difference that we needed today.
It was a really nice goal, and I just wanted to pick up on Beth because this football club is kind of breaking records all the time. But for Beth personally, she becomes the first player in the Women's Super League to amass 40 assists. When you know on the sidelines that you've got a tense and nervy game, when you see a ball lofted into that and it's landing at Beth Mead's feet, you must feel very, very confident that something might come of it.
Yeah, Beth is very, very good at picking up situations on the final third. She's such an instinctive, intuitive players, and the more often we can set her in situations and positions like that, then goals comes, then assists comes. She's a points player, Beth Mead, and it's really, really nice to see her being back playing at this level.
Let me talk to you quickly about back-to-back sell-out crowds. I'm always seems to be discussing how Arsenal are creating pioneering ground, but is it a nice foundation to have to leapfrog you into what is a very, very busy week? Massive games coming one after the other at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's such a big part being proud of. And I remember seeing a quote from Dennis Bergkamp where he was saying, like, you don't follow or support a team because of only the history or a trophy or a player. You do support because there you find an environment and a place where you feel that you belong to. And that's why 60,000 people comes to the Emirates Stadium, because they feel they belong there. And that's very, very special to be able to provide at home for that many people and to provide that place of belonging. So that we have to keep building on and keep having that consistency and keep having that home to come to.
Yeah, well, you've provided that home, and also North London gets to shout out that it's red tonight, which must be nice as well.
That was the main mission today.
So, Ash, Spurs fans weren't happy with the goal. I mean, I've watched it over and over again, and I don't know if I'm being biased, potentially, but I didn't think she was offside, but I know a lot of Tottenham fans thought she was offside. What are your thoughts on VAR not being in the women's game? Because at these types of stadiums, they have the ability to have them. I get not having it at Boreham Wood and King's Meadow because, you know, they don't have them in the lower leagues of the men's football, but what do you think about VAR?
I think if you're going to have it, I think it needs to be consistent for every game, because otherwise what could potentially happen is, brilliant, we have it at games like yesterday, but then, you know, say the Bristol game, we say it's in there, that when it actually, it means more to that particular game and they don't have it. I think if you're going to have it, you've got to have it at every single game, or not at all. If they could roll it out, I think we should, because again, we want to try and do the same as the men. But yeah, at the moment, I don't think no.
No, I agree. And I think the officiating needs to get better as well. But again, we saw Arsenal's average attendance this season has been above 35,000. Do we think we'll start to see Arsenal playing all of their home games at the Emirates?
No, in Arsenal, yes. They probably already try and get as many there as possible. I think they've always been at the forefront of women's football and they continue to do that now. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. If they're selling it out, what's the reason not to? So I think so.
Yeah, definitely. I think every time I go to that stadium and I see our picture with the Invincibles alongside us, it's like amazing. The club's always been great. Now, it brings me to Tottenham Hotspur. Beth England, right? So Robert Wilhelm made three substitutions, triple substitution all at once, and Beth England wasn't one of them. Martha Thomas had a decent season, but of late the goals have dried up. What do you make of Beth England? And obviously she went to Tottenham, then she was the top goal scorer, then she got injured. I mean, I think she should personally be starting, if not the first, sub off the bench.
I agree. I think, obviously, she left Chelsea to go and play, you know, more minutes. I think she went and done that. She was incredible. She got injured, unfortunately. It's very difficult to see her on the bench, you think.
And she's the captain as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, I personally think she should be playing. I think she's got the ability. I think they were speaking about in terms of Jess Naz offering pace. I think Beth's incredibly fast herself and powerful. So I'd be putting her in the team sheet personally.
Yeah, to be fair, I thought Jess Naz was their best player and then he took her off as well. She was brilliant. She was literally leading the line on her own. Now to the next game I want to talk about, Aston Villa 1, Liverpool 4. I mean, Liverpool are now in joint fifth place with Manchester United. Brilliant season so far. You know, could we see them potentially making it into the top four? We saw Aston Villa last year finishing fifth and they've kind of fallen off a bit this season. I mean, you play for Matt Beard, right?
Yeah, I did.
Same as me at Chelsea. Yeah. So what do you make of, you know, his second tenure at Liverpool?
Doesn't surprise me. Beardy is a great coach. Wherever he goes, if he's given time, he tends to get, you know, a winning team. If they're very difficult to beat and he's got different styles of playing. I think with the backing Liverpool have got and with him in charge, I think they will sort of start to bridge that gap. I think, yeah, they might do what Villa done last year sort of thing.
Yeah, so Liverpool's first goal, brilliantly worked free kick, cute little set piece. Is this something that you still play now? But I know as a player, I hate doing defensive set pieces, definitely, in training. But is it something that you've, like, you work on and you think having an intricate set piece can really help you, set you apart?
Yeah, I think it's not worked on enough. I think they can, especially, I think people tend to switch off, don't they? Especially if it's you're just expecting a delivery in the box, for example. You set up for that. So if you can do something different, even if it's just setting the ball 5 or 10 yards to change their position, I think it's something we can look to do a lot more.
And leads me to Aston Villa. I touched upon them earlier. I mean, Carlo Wall did an exceptional job last year, but just one win at home in 7 for Aston Villa isn't good reading. Rachel Daly wasn't in the squad for the weekend. I have a feeling she might have picked up an injury. 5th place last year. Like, what do you think's gone wrong at Aston Villa this year?
I'm not sure. They know. Is it off the back of having an incredible season? Have they taken their foot off the gas a little bit? My thoughts are, with Carlo in charge, no. It's very hard to see what's gone wrong because they've made great signings. So
Rachel Daly last year, Jordan Nobbs, Lucy Stanforth.
They've invested a lot of money and I think, I'm not sure why they're not clicking. On paper, they should. I think Carla's a great manager, man management. If there's one thing we touched upon earlier, I think she definitely gives that. I think she'll turn it around. I think give her more time. I think she'll turn it around there because I think they've got the players and they've got the staff.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think the fact that Rachel Daly isn't scoring as many as she did last year, that makes a difference as well.
Yep.
Now, this game, 10 goals, Bristol City 3, Brighton 7. Like, unbelievable, really. And you've got to give, you know, Bristol City credit because they pulled it back, you know, 4-3 at one point. But, you know, how difficult is it for a team like Bristol City? Because we touched upon it earlier on in the show. Team coming into the league, they're giving it a good go, but it's difficult, isn't it? With the lack of squad depth, with the lack of quality. Every game, just they try, and I give it to them, but they're not at the level, are they?
Unfortunately not, no. It comes from the gap between the Championship and the WSL. It is closing, but unfortunately it's still there. You touched on it. Bristol, I don't know what their resources are like in terms of financially. You know, are they struggling to compete from that sense as well? I don't know. These teams, it's so difficult to step up, and you can't take away their work ethic and their desire. But unfortunately, it comes down to then quality. And do they just not have that quality to see themselves over the line in games? And I think that's the case, unfortunately.
Yeah, and with Brighton, we see them go from 11th into 9th. You know, can you see them the season being safe now? And obviously, Melissa Phillips losing her job. I don't think people expected that to be the situation. What do you make of them at this moment in time, Brighton?
I think they'll stay up, yeah. I think that was a really important result yesterday. I think Bristol, unfortunately, have got a real big mountain to climb now, so I think people above them might be safe. Again, Brighton are another odd team to me. They've got the investment, they've got the infrastructure, but for some reason they're not able to sort of get themselves up further in the league. Is that something that they gradually change over time? I'm not sure. There seems to be like three or four teams that are pretty the same every year, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they're one of them. So it'd be good if you start to see them gradually improve.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think Everton, kind of, you can throw them in amongst it as well, kind of that team that's like middle ground. And yeah. I think WSL, some of the teams are quite fortunate. There's only one team that actually goes down, because some of them have been really, really poor, I think,
agree.
And completely inconsistent.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, the next game we're going to get into, Ash, is Manchester City 2, Everton 1. An extremely dominant performance from City, I would say. And I think the scoreline flattered Everton a little bit. I mean, I've been quite critical of Manchester City in recent years because I think they've underachieved. I think with the squad that have been in there, the budget they've had, and I questioned Gareth Taylor, but fair play to him. You know, he's got manager of the month. What do you make of them this season? And do you think they could finally be at that point where we've seen them beat Chelsea already? Have they finally got to the levels where we think they should have been at?
Definitely. I think I agree with you. I think the last few seasons, I think they've massively underachieved. But again, he's been given time. He's been trusted by the club. And, you know, sometimes that does really pay off because you're able to really build a really strong team environment. And I think that's what it feels like they've got. It feels like they're a real team. And I think, yeah, they're really performing this year. And I think they might pip them. If they continue to play the way they are.
Yeah, and I think it's really important they tie down Lauren Hemp and players like that to long-term contracts, because there's always going to be speculation of those types of players leaving. Now, Everton currently sitting in 10th. I felt like the scoreline flattered them a little bit. I loved Bennison's goal. I thought it was an absolutely fantastic strike. But what do you make of teams like Everton? Because we just touched upon it. I think they're always going to be safe within the league to a certain degree. But what is it do you think is missing from them? I mean, we saw my former teammate Juventus. She's a centre midfielder, Aurora Golli. She played at fullback yesterday. So it's just, I don't feel like they have any star players. Do you know what I mean? Tony Duggan's now coming back. Yeah. She was on the bench. But other than that, I don't know what they're trying to do.
I don't think they know, to being totally honest. What direction are they going in? Like, do they want to back it and really push for it? I think Everton have always been a safe club, you know, that, like you said, then you're not really sure what you're going to get out of them. We touched on it. There's a few teams very similar. It just takes, you know, at this now, start planning for next season. What do you want to do? Like, with the right investment, right signings, right managerial appointments, you can transform teams. And I think it's important teams like that, you know, do start to do something, because otherwise it's, no disrespect, it's quite boring. You know, I'm not sure what style of play, what you're going to get out of them each week.
Yeah. I think as well with these types of deals, I mean, we touched upon it earlier when you were at Charlton and Everton, we're one of our biggest rivals as well.
Incredible.
Jill Scott, Farrah Williams, Jodie Handley, Fern Whelan. Like they
obviously
had a top
under Mo Marley.
Yeah, Mo Marley.
Incredible coach. Get her back in.
It's true. And, and I loved Mo at under 19s, top manager. So hopefully, you know, they'll start to find their way at some point. Now, West Ham won, Manchester United won. I want to touch upon a little bit about Manchester United, their season so far. They seem to be making a lot of steps last year, making the FA Cup final, missing out on the Champions League this year, going out to PSG. Mark Skinner's come under a lot more scrutiny this year. It seems like they're not going forward. It seems like they're going backwards. Mary Ertz potentially could be leaving. They've lost Alessio. I mean, the list could go on. Mm. What do you make of, you know, their season so far, and why do you think it's changed?
Yes, I'm not sure. I think obviously losing Russo was a huge for them. I think Mary's probably likely to leave in the summer. For her, you surely want to be challenging for titles. I'm not sure she's going to be able to do that at Man United, unfortunately. I don't know. It's really hard to sort of pinpoint what's wrong with them teams and why they've, Villa, why they performed and then the year after they're not quite there. Managers the same, setups the same, so it's difficult to sort of narrow down what the issues are. Only probably they know internally with in-depth analysis, but I think, a fan, I'm not sure what the issues are.
Yeah, I think with Manchester United, what I see is that they've lost a lot of players. You know, Alessio Russo, Unabacha, now she's in Barcelona. My concern is that people want to leave. It looked like the club was building, the men put more investment in. At the beginning, they admitted they hadn't really, you know, when Tobin Heath was there, Kristen Prest, Casey Stoney was their manager. So they were like at a point where I felt like they were kind of going to continue to go. And this season, it just seems like they've fallen by the wayside just a little bit. But I want to touch upon West Ham. You know, we spoke a little bit about on the show about the signings they made, Christy Mewis, Katrina Gorey. It's, you know, right now, is it a matter of, they seem like they're going to be safe, but is success for them just staying up, would you say?
This season, probably yes, but you know they're a massive club. I don't imagine any of the teams in the W, other than maybe the lower end ones. Now, you know, the aim is to stay up. I think teams like that, I don't think that is their aim at the start of the season. I do think they're looking to maybe bridge the gap and finish fourth and fifth. But ultimately, as the season goes on, you're not getting those wins. Maybe that is then the aim, because you know no one wants to fall with the way that it's going. You do not want to get relegated from that league. Especially with the teams that are now in the Championship, it's a very tough league to get out of. So, you know, no one wants to be relegated, but clubs like West Ham, you need to be pushing up the league. You don't want to just be surviving.
Yeah, and two teams that, one is your former club and you support Leicester City men's team. So Chelsea 4, Leicester 0. Chelsea back to the top, you know, thanks to some unbelievable goals. But the story was all about Katerina Macario, you know, been out for 2 years. We know, we empathise. How delighted were you to see her back and scoring? You know, it's a dream come true. I did the same, not taking anything away from her, but when I was at Juventus, I was out for 18 months. And that feeling of just stepping back onto the pitch, like, you feel emotional, don't you?
Very much
so. And then to score, she must be just absolutely delighted.
I think icing on the cake, when you've come back from the injury like that, especially in her case, I mean, not even getting to play. So, you know, first milestone is, can I get minutes? As a forward, you dream about that moment of scoring. I think for her to get that, you could see in her celebrations, it's like a sense of relief, not so much happiness, isn't it? It's like, I've done it. And that's like, I've completed my ACL return. That's like that moment.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely delighted for her. And Chelsea's next WSL game is against Arsenal at Stamford Bridge. It's going to be a huge game, and the atmosphere, I mean, should be amazing. How do you expect that game to go?
I think a really good game. I think obviously at Stamford Bridge, hopefully they get a really big crowd. I think a very close game.
Yeah, I mean, I think talking about crowds, right, because I think with Arsenal, for example, not to make it all about my former club, but with Chelsea, when they play at Stamford Bridge, at points it feels like an away game. Because the crowds are like, I went to the game when I did it, commentary on it versus Hecken, and there's, you know, 10,000, which is good. But one player that loves playing at the Bridge, Lauren James, two back-to-back hat-tricks. How impressed have you been with her?
She's just an incredible talent. I remember playing against her when she was 16 and we was at Millwall and played in the Conti Cup, and she come on and she was just a joke at 16, just drifting past players. And I mean, she's just going levels and levels, isn't she? She just makes it look so easy. Very exciting player to watch. And, you know, I'd love to know how it comes so naturally.
Yeah, Leicester City this season, you know, they've kind of plateaued. I mean, with Willie Kirk, they're in seventh. You know, is this the best we can expect from them with their given their resources? And I think players like Ava Baker, Denny Draper, you know, those young players that are coming through, I think they came on in the game at the weekend, but they need to be getting more minutes for me, because right now it's like, do you think that's where Leicester kind of are in a place where they expect to be? Or
again, probably, but do they start the season wanting to be there? No. I think Willie Kirk's a really good manager. I think, again, given time, what can he maybe achieve there? But yeah, resource and players and things like that. They're probably in the league where they probably should be, to be totally honest.
But, given the resources, we touched upon that earlier, didn't we? Like certain clubs just don't have the budget.
No. I'd obviously love Leicester, up you foxes. So I hope you I hope you improve. But it'd be good to see them go up. I love Leicester. So obviously I hope they improve. And I think they can with him in charge. But again, it comes down to signings and budgets and things like that. So yeah, it's got to happen in order to improve.
Yeah, we talk about teams, you know, climbing the table. What have you made in the Championship? You know, you've played in that league. Crystal Palace, Laura Kaminski just got given the Manager of the Month. What do you make of how well Crystal Palace have done this year?
Incredible season. I think obviously there was a change of management out of the blue, but God, what an improvement she has come in and done with that squad. I think they've obviously got really good players, and they obviously needed a change of some sort, and she's obviously getting the best out of them. Are they maybe going to go and do it? That would be huge. I can't underestimate how huge that would be for Palace to go and win the Championship and potentially get to the Super League. So I urge people to watch more Championship and look at it, because it's a really close competitive league. Like, anyone could beat anyone. And that's the difference, I would say, to the Super League. That nothing's a given in that league. Like, whether you are bottom or top, you could easily take points. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, we had Karen Hills, who was my guest the other week, and Cheltenham are currently sitting top at that moment in time. And I know they've got two games in hand, but which team do you think it will be eventually? I mean, you've got Sunderland, Crystal Palace, Southampton, Cheltenham are all going at it. You know, Cheltenham play Sunderland, the second to last game of the season as well. And I touched upon that with Karen. You know, how important is that game going to be?
Huge. Any of those five teams, if you have you've got to obviously have a good run in, any of them could do it. Obviously, a couple of them have got a slight advantage, but again, you drop one or two games, your standards, and that 6 points loss could then mean someone else overtake you. I don't know who's going to win it, and it's really exciting to see, because I don't think anyone could actually call who's going to win the Championship this season.
Yeah, and we touched upon it before about, you know, the Championship being really competitive, but what do you think about the gaps between the WSL when it comes to quality? Because we've seen Bristol go up and it's hard for them. We touched upon it before. So what do you make of the gaps? Because obviously you're playing with AFC Wimbledon as well now. What do you think it is that's different? Is it the quality? Is it the speed of play in the different leagues?
Speed of play and quality. I think obviously with the WSL, you've got, like, it's full of internationals, like full-time internationals. So of course the gap is naturally going to be there. Same as the Championship in the men's, and you step up. Like, a lot of those teams struggle in the Premier League this year. Like, there's no difference, men or women, in that
regard.
Burnley.
Yeah, Burnley. Burnley men.
Exactly. So I think when you go up, it's just that initial first season real investment. Once you've got there, you've got to stay in it. And I think, I mean, obviously Bristol on 6 points. You know, two wins you're looking at. I feel like if you're not going up and you're looking at teams and you think, I can at least go and be getting four wins out of the season, you know, you've got to be at least aiming for that. And I think clubs just need to invest when they do go up. But the problem is, you know, if they then get relegated, you've then put that investment in. So I know it's a really tight situation.
Last week, it was announced that Rhian Wilkinson was taking over as the head coach of the Wales national team after Gemma Granger stepped down to take charge of Norway. I spoke exclusively to Rhian on the day of the announcement and asked her about her family ties to Wales and why taking this job meant so much to her.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm so excited. This is obviously, my mother's Welsh, and she always kept us very connected to our Welsh heritage, and actually moved my brother, sister and I out here for a bit when we were young. So it feels like a very full circle moment getting this opportunity.
Yeah, and you're coming off the back of a really good result against the Republic of Ireland. You know, what could you take from that? I mean, you've got some good players in your team. Sophie Ingle, Jess Fishlock. I mean, I had to re-look it up today, the fact that Jess Fishlock is 37. Like, I cannot get my head around it. And how excited are you to work with these types of players?
Yeah, this is a fantastic team. And I think you can see against Ireland how exciting they are when they're hitting their stride. And I think that's a big part, is when they show up, they can compete with some of the best nations in the world. We saw that against Germany as well, I think late last year. So for me, this is a team that's leader full with people like Jess, Angharad, Sophie Ingle. And so it's making sure that I'm giving them the space to bring this team where it deserves to be, which is at a major tournament. So really looking forward to working with them.
Yeah, and obviously right now, ranked 32nd in the world in the FIFA World Rankings, but I don't think that really means anything. We've seen from the Republic of Ireland and all those types of things. And we see teams in the World Cup beating teams and, you know, the seedings are great.
The US lose to Mexico. I mean, rankings are there for a reason, but honestly, if everything went by rankings, it wouldn't be much fun.
Exactly. So what is it you think you can bring? Because obviously you were the Portland Thorns, you won a championship, national championship in your first year with the Thorns, which is like one of the biggest franchises in the world. I know they've had a lot of changes, but how much will you draw upon those experiences there winning? And what do you think you bring to this Welsh team that they've been lacking in recent years?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate since I retired from playing that I went straight into coaching the youth in Canada. So I definitely have quite a lot of a background in youth development and moving players through the system. Then went on to work for the senior women's team with Canada and then with England and GB. So lots of diverse experience with senior teams and then worked in club. So what I think I'll bring and I hope to bring is consistency to their performances. I'm not trying to make this Welsh team Canada. I'm not trying to make them Spain or Germany. They are Wales. They're uniquely themselves. They play with a real passion and style that is exciting and fun to watch and to follow. But I mentioned it before. I really believe it is their consistency and how they bring it every game and deliver what they can.
Yeah, you've had some pretty big jobs since you've retired. I mean, is this something that you've always been a student of the game? I remember when we were on the team together at the Boston Breakers, and it's fair to say we had some indifferent, you know, situations happened on our team and the league folded, and thankfully, you know, the NWSL is thriving now. But how do you feel like you can kind of draw on those experiences that, as a player, bring what you learn, the good, the bad and the ugly, into management?
Yeah, it's not always a huge benefit to have been a player, I don't think. We used to think like, oh, it's a huge step up if you've been. There are certain advantages, though, and one of them is often you've had some of the experiences the players have had and you can try and bring a little bit of what you learned through it. But we know, Leanne, half the players don't care. You know, they're so young. A lot of them don't remember. They don't want to talk about your successes eons ago. But I do think as a player, what we did learn is those sort of high performance behaviors, what it took to reach the other level. You know that as well, going on to play for England and playing abroad. There are certain things that you can speak to with real understanding, probably a bit of compassion as well, because you've had to live through it. But I think that's pretty much the only thing where there is an advantage from having been a player. I think it can be challenging.
Yeah, and a lot of the Canadians have drawn an experience. I mean, Carmelina Moscato, you know, is now Racing Louisville's assistant coach. We're seeing a lot of players, you know, former players go into management and assistant management roles. But a lot of the Canadians talk about John Herdman, you know, being that positive influence on their career. Who's the best coach you've ever played for and what makes them good?
Yeah, well, John Herdman was the best coach I ever played for. And a lot of us mention him because he created the pathway.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah,
I didn't know you were going to say that, but everyone says that.
Well, we do. And he's a challenging man. I fight with him all the time. I still fight with him all the time. But he was the first person to call me when my life got turned upside down in my coaching career. He's also the first one who calls me when things are going well. He's consistently there. But he also created the pathway. Everyone talks, why don't we have more players coaching? Why aren't there more in medical field? Why aren't there more in administration around the game? There's no pathway. There's no opportunity. And John created that. So you see Melissa Tancredi, who played for Canada for many, many years. She's she's a chiropractor now. She works with the senior Canadian team. Robin Gale worked with the senior women, then the senior men, and now she's working for an MLS club with John Herdman. Carm, who's had success in Denmark and then in Mexico, and has now taken on the assistant role, and I'm sure she will do a wonderful job, but she'll be a head coach again soon. Fantastic. And those are just a few that I'm mentioning, and it's because we were given opportunity and someone believed in us. And, you know, it doesn't mean it was an easy relationship with John. I've never pretended it was, but he saw something in me and us and in a lot of his players. And a lot of us, I think of that team, only two of us haven't stayed in football, which is not usually what you can say about teams, unfortunately.
So you and I have played all over the world, you know, played for different teams. And how, you know, excited are you for the future of the women's game? Because I think I only retired 4 years ago and I think people think it was 40 years ago because, you know, when you look at the growth of the women's game, especially in England and America, you know, sustainable leagues, how impressed are you and what do you think will continue to happen for the future?
Yeah, the women's game is going to continue to grow. And we talk about this upward trajectory and it will only continue. And I think coming coming to my second home, Wales, I think this is the time. The fan base needs to grow. The support needs to grow. And it's there and it is, but I want to keep pushing that. You do as well, Leanne. Like this, I'm not comfortable with where we're at. I love that it's growing. We still have a long way to go, which is great. We've had to ply our trade when we were players across the world. We had to leave our homes. I did. There's no league in Canada, although there's one starting next year. Thank you, Diana Matheson, former player.
Amazing.
For starting a league there. But this was our reality. You had to leave. You had to, you know, get paid nothing. You had to work second jobs. And now the game is professionalized. It's across the world. And these women are given opportunities that we fought for and the women that came before us fought for. And it's fantastic. But it is our role to keep pushing. And there's still a lot of growth to do.
Yeah. And obviously, Wales national team manager now. It's amazing. I'm so delighted for you, Rhian. But what is next for the Welsh national team? You know, you've got the qualifiers. Qualifying for a major tournament, is that one of the goals that you've got in mind?
That is the goal. This team is on the rise. This is an incredible group of players that have given everything for their country. A wonderful group of young players coming through as well. But we all know, and you're English, you saw the success of these big tournaments that it brought to the country. We need to qualify. And once we qualify, we really, I think, galvanize the fan base and get even more of them on board and following this team.
Amazing. Well, I now have, you know, there's a little bit of rivalry between us and Wales and Scotland. But now I know you're the national team coach, I'm going to be rooting for Wales as well. So thanks for joining me on my women's football show. And I'll be looking out for you in the future. And hopefully our paths will cross soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Now, Ash, Rhian mentioned there, you know, taking over this job. Her mum's Welsh. I played with Rhian before. Portland Thorns won the national championship with them, you know. How much of a big deal would it be if Wales were to qualify for a major tournament? Because obviously, when I played against them, you played against them as well many times, you know, with England, and when we play against Scotland, it's like a big deal. Mm. So how important would it be if she was to qualify for a major tournament?
You always want home nations to do well, whether we're rivals or not. I think knowing some of those Welsh girls and how much they've given up over a real prolonged period, people like Jess Fishlock,
Sophie Ingle.
Yeah, like they have gone and travelled with Wales when they had nothing. So I think they need to be getting to qualifications and getting into the big tournament. I think those players really do deserve it. They were close last year. I hope they go and do it. I think obviously they had a good performance against Ireland. So it'd be good to see them get in there.
That's all for this week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next Monday where we'll round up all of the action from the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.